everyone. Welcome back to See the Invisible, Living with an Invisible or Rare Disease. My name is Rhonda Franny Jefferson, and thank you so much for taking some time out to listen today. If you're new here, welcome. To tell you a little bit about the podcast and myself, I started the podcast as a way to try to lend some support and lend a voice for those that have an invisible or rare illness, especially during these past 18, 20 months. We've had to add challenges to the challenges that we already face each day. And after some experiences that I had, I wanted to use some of my energy into something positive. So I started this podcast. I do have an invisible and rare illness. Last year, we actually just had the first FDA-approved treatment that was approved. So that was kind of exciting, but definitely a lot more to be done. But that's just a little bit about myself and what I'm doing with this podcast to try to, you know, let those who do not have an invisible illness or have a rare illness, you know, understand that there are people out there who have different situations. Also, a recognition that our support system, whether it be family, friends, even coworkers, you know, that they also, you know, need to know about our illness, as well as, you know, they're there for our support. They also need support, need to be supported as well. So what I'm doing with this week's episodes are I'm breaking them down into two. I normally have one episode a week, but looking at going back to school, I know that's the big topic right now. And even though, you know, returning to school is not necessarily having an invisible or rare illness, there are reports put out every year at the beginning of school from the CDC, healthychildren.org, you know, that are looking at the ways that returning to school can impact a child. And this year we have so many more obstacles that we may have to go through. And it's kind of hard to keep up with everything that's going on because, you know, depending on where you live, one county might be doing one thing, or even different cities could be doing different things. So, you know, right now I just want to review some of the basics of going back to school, which will be, you know, more in this episode. And then the next episode will be covering things like germs, you know, making sure that we're being as safe as we can, even though, frankly, a lot of those are the standards that we, you know, go through every year and what we're always telling our children they should be doing. So what I'll do with that episode is this one will be released on Monday, September 13th, and the next one will be released on Tuesday, September 14th. Now, before I do start, I just want to say that I am in no way a medical, insurance, or legal expert. If you do have any questions in those fields, please make sure that you're reaching out to someone in that area. My podcast is in no way meant to be medical advice. It's just my observations or my experiences that I'm retelling, or different pieces of information that I've learned through articles I've read. So again, this is in no way meant to be medical advice, but I just do want to share some information that I have, as well as just reminders that we go through every year. So something last week that I started was on school buses. I went through some school bus tips, but something that I didn't follow bring up last week really more in depth was on school buses, there are still so many around the nation that don't have seatbelts. If they're used to transport very small children, they don't have boosters. And, you know, as individuals, if we have, you know, an SUV, a small car, no matter what, and we have a child that's within a certain weight or height range, they have to be in a booster. Everybody needs to be buckled in. Yet on school buses that are carrying our children, they don't have to be necessarily. So, you know, if I think about a school bus, I know that for one thing, at least in my area, there are not a tremendous number of accidents involving them. For one thing, they are very visible, so that helps. Also, the stop signs, when the bus does actually stop, unfortunately, not everybody adheres to that, and there have been tragedies related to that. There really is more protection for school buses as far as avoiding accidents, but if an accident does occur, there's nothing there, to hold a child in. And, having an accident in a school bus is really one of the worst scenarios I think that I could ever face. Now, right now, my children don't ride a school bus because now that they're in middle school, they have to walk, which I do drive them just because they have to walk over a bridge, and I'm, just being a little concerned. So, it's just something that I think needs to be readdressed and readdressed and readdressed until, something is done. Whether it's about the cost of going through all the school buses and adding in safety belts, the cost of doing that, to every school bus in the nation would be worth it if it saves just one child. If you do participate in school board meetings, if there's a way that you can contact your school board just to get some information, or if your bus driver, when they stop, if you can ask them a question just really quickly, do the school buses have seatbelts? I know they're on a deadline, just to at least get that piece of information and then follow up accordingly. So that's just one important thing I wanted to circle back to and, just kind of encourage that, we are the ones who, make our child's voices heard, or our children's voices heard, because, they don't understand the importance of a seatbelt. And honestly, just riding in your own vehicle, it's important that they understand the need for a safety belt. A few years ago, I was driving somewhere with my children, and just due to my work schedule, they had to be picked up at my parents' house each day. So even on days that I was going in late, I had to go and drop them off at my parents'. Well, someone was driving on the complete wrong side of the road, and it was a country road. There was a ditch, telephone poles, a cornfield, and even though I beeped my horn, he just didn't see it. I did find out that his father had actually passed away the previous day. I live in a very small area, or rural area, I should say, very densely populated, but pretty rural. And, my brother-in-law was a fire police. He actually responded to the accident. And the father that had passed away had used to be the fire chief of that department. I did find that out. So I understand there were other things on his mind, but at the same time, it is their responsibility to make sure they're driving properly. But he did end up hitting me, and I was able to get the car on the shoulder so that it went into just the driver's side completely. And it did scare my kids. They were in the back of the car. They could see the truck coming. And my only thought was, how do I get away far enough to make sure the kids aren't hit? But after all was said and done at the end of the day, and we went to talk to the kids about what had happened, because I had to go to the hospital. Unfortunately, the car was totaled. They had to cut the door off and bend the frame. So, when we got home, we discussed it with our children, and my older son said that he almost took his seatbelt off. He was trying to take his seatbelt off because, he just saw a truck coming. And what's the first thing almost anybody would think? It's get out of the way. And so if things had been maybe 1 or 2 seconds apart, if we weren't hit until maybe 2 or 3 seconds later, he may have been severely injured because of that. So we had, a very serious conversation. We tried to make it as age appropriate as possible to let them know the importance of seatbelts. But that story also goes to show the importance as well. So I will move on to the next topic because I don't want these episodes over the next couple days to be, you know, extremely long because everybody has a lot to do right now. So also what we need to do is make sure that we're, you know, watching what our children eat as far as, you know, are they getting breakfast? Because breakfast, you know, helps our children focus. If they're hungry, they're going to be distracted all day. They're going to be less energetic. So, you know, try to find a way or find information to make sure that they're getting a breakfast every morning. We are very fortunate in my area that the school lunches and breakfasts are provided to children. So that is covered as far as making sure that the kids have something to eat in the morning. But I know that's not necessarily the same in every area, for every school district. So, you know, if you need information about, you know, maybe different programs, reach out to your school district, you know, to see if there's anything that you might be able to participate in. If, you know, maybe it's a timing thing, you know, if you have to get up really, really early and, you know, just adding breakfast rushes, you know, and a lot of schools, they do have a time set aside for breakfast. So, you know, finding out that information may kind of help everything all together be a little less rushed in the morning and make sure, you know, your child has breakfast, as well as, you know, just trying as much as possible. And we all know that children are not very big fans of vegetables. Fruits, at least mine, are a little more, you know, apt to eat fruits compared to vegetables, but we want to make sure they're getting, you know, those types of snacks. If there's a choice between chips and apple slices, go with the apple slices. And, you know, I know my child, my oldest child, does not want to eat anything that's good for him, basically. So I'm trying to find ways to add things into his diet, also watching sugar intake. So those kind of go hand in hand because even, say, giving him a glass of juice, that contains a lot of sugar. So there's finding a balance and making sure that there's healthy snacks, that they're still getting, you know, their fruits and vegetables, and also to stay hydrated, especially in a lot of areas as, you know, it's very hot right now. You know, just make sure that, you know, your children are getting enough to drink during the day. I know at our school, and I'm thinking probably most schools around the nation, if not all, the water fountains are covered. They're not allowed to use the water fountains, but they are allowed to take water in a clear water bottle. So if you're not sure about that, again, reach out to your school district to see if they can bring something in. So I know in my school district, it's just water. So that's actually, you know, pretty good. I like the fact that they'll be drinking water. And I do try to, you know, not keep sugary drinks in the house because my kids have the habit of, if they see something they like, even though it's supposed to last the week, it will most likely be gone by the end of, you know, 48 hours. So the next thing I just wanted to cover, it's actually going back to what I was saying about sugar. This is kind of a staggering amount of sugar that a 12-ounce soda contains 10 teaspoons of sugar approximately and 150 calories. And of course that, you know, varies slightly. But, you know, that's a huge amount of calories and sugar. And, you know, at some point, I'm more focused on the sugar as well. But, you know, just replacing that with water, that can take 300 calories out of a child's diet per day, depending on, you know, what they may be drinking. Now, one of the most uncomfortable topics that we have to deal with as parents is bullying and also cyberbullying. So there's what many of us grew up with, which is the, you know, either, it's called teasing, but honestly, I don't like the word teasing because, you know, that kind of downplays how traumatic some bullying can be. So what we first need to do is make sure that our children understand what bullying is. You know, there was an incident, I'd say about 6 months ago, when my children were remote learning and I was helping one of my children with an assignment. And based on his answer, I knew that he did not know the meaning of one of the words. And so I went over it with him, and, you know, he could see that, okay, this answer was written completely, you know, wrong. And, you know, it was, you know, I'm not going to go over what word it was, but it's something that could be very, you know, traumatic if a child experiences that, or if anybody experiences that. So, you know, it's making sure you're using age-appropriate language when you're speaking with your child and that they understand exactly what it is. So make sure they understand bullying can take both a physical form, whether it's pushing, pulling hair, pinching. None of that is ever acceptable. And, you know, when I was growing up, you know, again, it was called teasing, a little bit like that, and, you know, nothing was ever said or done. And now I'm glad that a lot of things are being, you know, are coming to the forefront that, okay, this is not okay, because, you know, I still remember one person, quote unquote, teasing me for most of my middle and high school years. And, you know, I still remember that. And it doesn't matter how many good times or good friends I may have had, a lot of times those memories come in and supersede any of the good. So make sure they understand that, you know, bullying, you know, it cannot be downplayed as just saying, oh, it's teasing, or it was just a joke. Words do have meaning. Words can hurt. So, you know, that saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. You know, when I was a child, I used to think, well, why is that? Because to me, it would be harder to get over the emotional scarring of words that might be repeatedly said to someone. So, you know, I'm kind of looking at that phrase in a different way, especially as a parent of a child who's on the autism spectrum too. You know, I want to be very protective of him, and especially going into middle school. But what we need to let our child know about bullying once they understand that it's, you know, verbal or physical, doing or saying something that can hurt someone, whether it be physically or emotionally, and also explaining what cyberbullying means in regards to, you know, mobile devices, computers, things like that. So if your child is bullied, you know, make sure that you speak with a school official, and also make sure that your child knows that they can go to an adult, such as a staff member, teacher, you know, someone that they trust and feel comfortable with if they are being bullied. Understand that, you know, again, this is not like decades ago where, you know, pretty much the way to approach bullying was just deal with it. Well, we recognize that, you know, the feelings and emotions stay with our children, you know, through, you know, childhood and adulthood. So understand that it is serious, and that we need to address it as soon as possible. Let your child know, too, that it's okay to walk away sometimes. And in terms of cyberbullying, a way to, quote-unquote, walk away would be to just don't respond. You know, on social media, there are people who just want to get a response out of someone. And by doing so, it can put, you know, people in a situation where they're either revealing too much information about themselves, or, you know, they're saying things that might lead to more bullying. So just, you know, let them know that stopping and either walking away physically or walking away from the mobile device, you know, is the best option usually. So they're not perpetuating, you know, the cycle of a back and forth as far as, you know, interacting with the bully. And another thing to have is a good support system. So, you know, friends can look out for each other and they'll feel more supported if they have, you know, a good group of friends. And also having your child work, you know, with things that they really enjoy. You know, my younger son really enjoys artwork and drawing. So I try to encourage that as much as I can. And that gives him, a lot of encouragement, I think, and it makes him more confident. And also, most importantly, as far as, letting administration know, if it's repeated and repeated, make sure that the teachers, bus drivers, everyone knows. It's not just, say, one person, not the administrator. Everyone that your child may come in contact with at the staff or as a staff or teacher at the school, bus drivers, if they are on the bus, when you speak with, the first person you speak with, ask them if they can make sure that everybody knows to be on the lookout for some type of an occurrence, with your child and another child. And also, as far as cyberbullying, monitor what your child is doing. We have a room that our kids have to be in when they're on the computer, and the doors open all the time so that I can hear the talking and things like that. My son brought me something to download the other day. I didn't feel comfortable, so it wasn't done. And I was sorry that, he was disappointed, but at the same time, I did not feel comfortable letting him go to that website. Now, on the other hand, if you find out that your child is actually, the one who is doing the bullying, sometimes that can be just as difficult as finding out your child is being bullied. So reiterate what the meaning of bullying is and that it is never, ever okay. Be consistent with any type of discipline and try to reward, positive behavior. So whatever they do that's either something new or different, thank them or say they did a great job. And I think having a positive, spin on things, and making sure that your child, is being recognized when they are making changes is very important as well. Now, something that we too can ask our children if they are the one who's actually being the bully is asking how they would feel if, the roles were reversed. And honestly, it can sometimes happen when we're adults too. I asked a person that one time who was yelling at me and kept mentioning his wife and daughter. And at some point, and when he paused, I said, okay, you're mentioning your wife and daughter. How would you feel if somebody was talking to one of them that way? And it actually turned everything around because sometimes it's a recognition that, what they're doing is wrong. And by turning the situation around and asking them, okay, if someone said or did this to you, or, everybody's situation is different, use an example that might be more appropriate to your child. If they broke another child's toy, that maybe they didn't like necessarily, ask them how would they feel if, someone broke their favorite toy, and it makes it more personal. And when we are in positions where we ourselves are being confronted about anything, whether, it's an, just anything can happen, whether you're in a grocery store and you hit carts or, traffic situations, don't lose your cool. If someone cuts you off, don't start screaming, just take it calmly and, kind of move forward from there so that your child understands, there doesn't need to be yelling or getting angry at everything. And if things, aren't getting better too, I hate again to use the word discipline, but it really is a discipline when you have to take something away from your child if they really like a certain game or they watch a certain show every day or every week. That has to be, curbed for a while so that they understand that if you do something wrong, there are consequences to your actions. Now, there are times, too, that your child may not be either. They could be a friend of either the bully or the person being bullied. So along the same lines of, if your child is the one being bullied, make sure that if your child's a bystander, that they have someone that they know they can go to and talk to so that they can let that person know that what is going on is not right. And if there is a child that either you or your child sees maybe getting bullied or harassed at school, encourage your child to, you know, play with them, talk to them. I know some of the play that's going on now, you know, it's not like they can sit really close together and interact, but have them talk to the other child and include them in some of the things that they're going to be doing. Now, all of this is coming from healthychildren.org. I had mentioned that website a little bit earlier in the podcast, so I will, you know, link that in the description. Anytime I use a resource, I will link that to the description. And just a couple more things that I want to go over really quickly, because again, I don't want to make it too long, but sleep routines are very important. The younger the child, the more sleep they usually need. On average, if a child's under 13, you know, they need about 10 to 12 hours of sleep. And this is more for school-age children, so babies need even more. And from 13 to 18 years of age, they need approximately 8 to 10 hours. Each child is different, so you may have one child who functions fine on 8 hours and another that needs 10 or 11. Recognize that and adjust what needs to be done. Make sure there is a good home school balance or home activity balance. If your child does participate in other activities, you know, try to make sure they're not overdoing it, because sometimes, you know, children may be involved in two or three different activities after school, and they may not have enough time to get enough sleep once they get their homework done and things like that. And once, you know, your child is home after school, make sure that you have a routine down for homework and studying so that when they come home, they know exactly what they need to do. Make sure they have a nice, clean place that they can sit that's free of any distractions. You know, they can't see the TV. The TV should really be turned off. You know, they're nowhere near their computer or a tablet or any other, you know, device that might cause a distraction. And, you know, have that role as a set role so your children know exactly what they need to do and when they need to do it. Me personally, you know, I like to give the kids a little bit of a break before they go straight into doing homework or studying. So I let them do something that they like for a while. I also let them know that I'm there for them to help them. And even if I don't know the answer, it's okay to say that. You know, I would rather have, you know, my child understand that, okay, well, mommy has to look this up with you and try to figure out what's going on rather than give them wrong information. But it also lets your, at least to me, in my opinion, it lets your child know that, you know, there are things that you don't know. It makes you more relatable. You know, some people may look at that differently, but I know for myself, I think it opens up a better dialogue with my older son, especially, you know, for him to understand, okay, well, there are sometimes things that mommy needs to look up too. And along the lines of study and homework habits, I would suggest asking your school how much screen time they spend at school. You know, we always hear, you know, screen time, blue light, some of those buzzwords. But, you know, my child's school this year is going to everything's on a Chromebook. So that means, you know, from class to class, they take their Chromebook with them and they're, you know, on the screen all day. Then when they come home, you know, usually their homework is by paper, at least from what they've had so far. But then if they want to play anything, you know, on the computer or on a mobile device, then they're back using screen time. So, you know, have the information about what's being used at the school, how much screen time they're getting altogether. And if there is a way to limit the screen time, and, you know, again, this is just my opinion, my experiences. I have an app that I can go in and limit the amount of time for each child. That way I know, you know, they're not spending, you know, 4 hours on there after school, which, they really don't have that much time to spend on it after school, but they'll try. Trust me. I've heard them get up in the middle of the night, so. But that was just some information more about what I consider the physical, like the external physical aspects of school and keeping children safe as compared to, say, things like keeping them safe in regards to germs and things like that. That will be an episode that I'll be uploading, you know, tomorrow on Tuesday. So I'll try to make that, you know, pretty quick as well, just to get the information in. And I know a lot of these are probably things that you may have heard before, but I think it's always good to have a refresher, because especially after, you know, last year there were a number of children who didn't step into a schoolroom all year. So we just kind of need to get back into the swing of things ourselves and, you know, remember some of the things that used to come automatically. If you do have any ideas about topics to cover, my contact information will be in the description, as long as links to some of the information that I used. I really did use mostly from healthychildren.org. So I'll have that in there, as well as one or two other articles I just found interesting. Something a little bit more with contact information about or information about the school buses and the seat belts, because I think that's something that's really important. So I hope everyone had a great weekend and that you have a great rest of your week. Take care, and I'll talk to you soon.